Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the first quarter 2017 earnings conference call and webcast for SMU. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. Should you need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and zero. I would now like to turn the conference over to Carolyn McKenzie, SMU Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. I'm here with Arturo Silva, our CFO, and I will briefly describe SMU's results for the first quarter of 2017, as well as a few other highlights that we think are important to mention. Then Arturo will be happy to take your questions. If anyone isn't using the webcast to follow the slides, we'll be going through the presentation that I sent out to the distribution list this morning. It is also available in the investor relations section of our website, www.smu.cl, in the financial information section. If that doesn't pop up right away, try selecting the year and the quarter. An audio recording of this call will be available on our website later today. Also, please note that we may be making forward-looking statements today. Just a reminder to please take a look at the caution regarding forward-looking statements on slide number two of our presentation. With that, we can begin. We posted our results for the first quarter of 2017 on Tuesday afternoon. On a consolidated basis, we reported net income of 5 billion pesos. EBITDA totaled 35 billion pesos, which was 9.5% higher than in the first quarter of 2016. The EBITDA margin grew 30 basis points to 5.7%, and we had revenues of 614 billion pesos, which is actually what we will start with on slide number three. We had consolidated revenue growth of 2.8% for the quarter, which is a lower growth rate than we have seen in recent years. One reason for this is a calendar effect. Since 2016 was a leap year, we had one less day of sales in 2017, which amounts to roughly 5 billion pesos of revenue. Within our food retail segment, we had overall revenue growth of 3.6% for the quarter, and we had revenue growth of 3.2% in Chile, which is more or less in line with industry performance. However, our traditional supermarket format, Unimarc, had particularly strong performance with 5.6% revenue growth compared to the first quarter of last year. Our construction materials segment had lower revenues, down 3.1%, which reflects deceleration in the industry. There was a particularly high comparison basis in the first quarter of last year related to the effects of tax reform on the real estate sector. This year, the industry is weaker than usual, so the lower revenues reflects the combined effect of these factors. I'll go into a little more detail on revenue in just a minute, but first I'd like to highlight the fact that our gross margin grew by 110 basis points. This is partly explained by our strong promotional activity, and it's also partly due to the increase in our centralized distribution, which, just as a reminder, is the distribution of products through our distribution centers, as opposed to the products being delivered directly by suppliers to our stores. Higher levels of centralization lead to higher distribution costs, and that's reflected in operating expenses, but that impact is offset by the fee that we charge suppliers for providing these logistics services, and that impact is reflected in the gross profit. On the next slide, we have a more visual breakdown to explain revenue growth in the quarter. On the far left, we have the comparison with the revenues for the first quarter of last year, around 597 billion pesos, which is not to scale in the graph. As you can see, the most important change comes from our Unimarc supermarkets, which account for 63% of consolidated revenue and 71% of our food retail revenue. You can also see a negative impact in our cash and carry format. In this format, we have two brands, Alvi, which is a more traditional cash and carry or wholesale format, whose customers are mostly mom-and-pop type neighborhood stores, and Mayorista 10, which is in a transition process as we shift the focus of its value proposition from mom-and-pops to final customers. Alvi's performance has been solid with growing sales, but this is offset by lower sales from Mayorista 10. As the new value proposition for Mayorista 10 matures, we do expect to see an improvement in sales. We think it's also worth highlighting the performance in Peru, which accounts for a small percentage of our total revenue but did grow over 20% in the quarter. This is partly due to the implementation of a new strategy, taking advantage of synergies with our Chilean operations. We started to see a strong improvement in sales during the fourth quarter of last year, and that has continued. There was also an additional impact due to higher sales volumes in March because of the flooding that affected Peru. Since we have cash and carry stores there, we saw a lot of big volume purchases given those circumstances. And finally, as I mentioned before, the construction materials business had lower revenues in the quarter, which is in line with performance in the industry overall. However, while ConstruMart had lower revenues in its B2B business, it did grow revenues to retail customers by 7%, which is part of the strategy for this business. And gross margin expanded for both B2B and B2C businesses. On the next slide, we have same-store sales and sales per square meter performance for the food retail segment. These indicators reflect the same trends that we have been seeing in revenues. Overall growth of 3% in same-store sales, which is lower than we've seen in recent periods, with strong performance for Unimark, with 4.6%, and Peru, with 22.2%, as well as OK Market, with 6.3%, and weaker performance for the cash and carry format, with 2.6%, which is related to Mayorista 10. Sales per square meter grew 3.3% for the quarter, which is also lower than in recent years, but in line with revenue growth and industry performance. On slide number 6, we have operating expenses, which is distribution costs plus administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. OPEX, as a percentage of revenue, increased 70 basis points this quarter to 21.4%. The most significant increase is in personnel expenses, which account for just about half of our administrative expenses, excluding depreciation and amortization. Personnel expenses increased by 8.3%, and this was due to inflation adjustments to salaries, an increase in the minimum wage, the provision for the long-term performance bonus for the 2014 to 2016 period, as well as higher average headcount, which is partly explained by the increase in centralized distribution. Distribution expenses increased 4.9%, which is mainly related to the increase in centralized distribution. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, this quarter we made further progress in increasing our rate of centralized distribution. Last year, we had an average of 42.5%, and in the first quarter of this year, we had 44.5%, as we have incorporated new agreements with suppliers. This allows us to be more efficient in our inventory management, and it also has a positive impact on our in-store product availability. On slide number 7, we have our EBITDA and EBITDA margin, which grew this quarter. Consolidated EBITDA grew 9.5% for a total of 35 billion pesos. The consolidated EBITDA margin grew from 5.4% in the first quarter of last year to 5.7% this year, reflecting the fact that gross margin increased more than operating expenses as a percentage of revenue. In the food retail segment, the EBITDA margin grew from 5.8% to 6.1%. And in the construction material segment, the EBITDA margin grew from 2.1% to 2.3%. On slide number 8, we can take a look at net income. We had a net profit of 5 billion pesos for the first quarter, which was lower than last year despite the fact that operating results were better. The difference of about 6.5 billion pesos is explained by a lower gain on foreign currency translation of 13 billion pesos. The foreign currency translation gain in the first quarter of last year was 15 billion pesos, whereas this year it was only 2 billion. This is because the Chilean peso appreciated more with respect to the dollar in the first quarter of last year, when it was over 5%, than in the first quarter of this year, when it was less than 1%. At the bottom of the slide, we tried to illustrate this effect, using pre-tax income to simplify the analysis. As you can see on the left, pre-tax net income fell significantly, but if you exclude foreign currency translation in both periods, as we do in the graph on the right, pre-tax net income increases by more than 7 billion pesos, which is more in line with the positive trend in operating results. Going forward, we will have much less volatility in our non-operating results, because as of March 13th of this year, we had hedged 100% of our international bond to maturity, and we have significantly reduced the rest of our dollar-denominated debt. On the next slide, we have an update on what we've been doing with Plan CIMA, which is our strategic plan for the 2017 to 2019 period. The plan has 6 strategic pillars, including customer experience, operating efficiency, organizational excellence, sustainability, technological development, and financial strengthening. With respect to customer experience, in January, we launched Club Ahorro Unimark, which is a customer loyalty program for our Unimark supermarkets. Since we launched the program, we've been able to identify over 6 million customers. We think this will be a powerful tool to further optimize our promotional strategy by understanding our customers' needs and preferences. We've also identified the 10 stores that we intend to upgrade this year, and we've been developing plans so we can start work on the first 4 stores by the end of the second quarter. With respect to operating efficiency, as I mentioned before, we achieved a rate of centralized distribution of 44.5% this quarter, up from 42.5% in 2016. We've also been rolling out a training program related to standardization of in-store processes, and we have implemented the task manager tool at all of our Unimark and Mayorista 10 stores, which should streamline our store managers' administrative responsibilities so they have more time to focus on operations. With respect to our financial position, as most of you know, this has been quite a year for us. We had the IPO in January for about $200 million, which allowed us to pay down debt. In March, as I mentioned, we were able to hedge 100% of our international bond maturity with a cross-currency swap, significantly reducing our exposure to exchange rate risk and eliminating a significant amount of the volatility in our non-operating income going forward. And the latest news is that in April, we placed a local bond for $3 million U.S., which is approximately $120 million, in order to refinance existing debt. This bond was placed at a rate of U.S. plus 5.3%, with an annual coupon rate of 4.5%, and it matures in March 2021. Between the IPO proceeds and the bond proceeds, we should be able to generate significant savings in interest expenses going forward. The other good news we had during the first quarter was that after we reported earnings for the fourth quarter of 2016, Standard & Poor's upgraded our international credit rating to B- with a positive outlook. We had other upgrades during the quarter as well from Humphreys and ICR, and since September of last year, all 5 of our credit rating agencies have upgraded our ratings. On slide number 10, you can see how the composition of our debt has changed since the end of last year. We had total debt as of March 31st, 2017, of approximately 860 billion pesos, which is approximately $1.3 billion. That total number includes approximately 270 billion pesos, or $400 million, in financial leases, which are mostly store rental agreements that qualify as financial leases under IFRS. For purposes of showing the breakdown of our financial debt, we've excluded them here, but they are included in the net debt to EBITDA calculation on the right in order to provide a more conservative leverage figure. We have a pro forma here to show what the debt looks like as of March 31st, including the bond placement in April. The net proceeds of that bond were approximately 77 billion pesos, or $120 million, and they were all used to pay debt. The IPO and the bond placement have enabled us to repay some of our most expensive debt, which should generate savings in interest expenses going forward. Between the IPO and the bond, we had total net proceeds of around 200 billion pesos, which have been used to pay around 100 billion pesos in related party debt, 20 billion in debt with financial entities, and 55 billion for a local bond that matured at the beginning of this month. The difference is around 25 billion pesos, and we have that in cash, as we have a payment of our syndicated loan coming up in June. In the pie charts at the top of the slide, you can see that following the bond placement, we have paid off all of our related party debt. At the bottom of the slide, you can see that we have significantly reduced our U.S. dollar denominated debt through paying down debt and by hedging the international bond. And finally, on the bottom right, you can see that we have reduced leverage from 8.1 times at the end of 2015 to 6.6 times at the end of 2016 to 5.7 times at the end of the first quarter. And finally, on the last page, on slide number 11, we have, understandably, been getting a lot of questions pertaining to the use of proceeds, payment of debt, etc., so we wanted to provide a visual to explain what we've been doing. We started the year with a little less than 50 billion pesos in cash, to which we added cash flows from operations of about 35 billion, net IPO proceeds of about 126 billion, net bond proceeds of about 77 billion, and new debt of about 11 billion. As far as the uses of that cash, the vast majority went to repay debt. We paid the Series C local bond that matured in May, which was around 55 billion pesos, approximately 100 billion in related party debt, and approximately 30 billion in other financial debt, which includes the 20 billion included in the use of proceeds from the IPO and the bond placement that I described on the previous slide, as well as other payments using cash from operations. The other main items are on the graph: interest payments of around $19 billion, CapEx of a little over $5 billion, and others, which is mainly working capital, and it reflects the seasonality of our business, where we make significant payments to suppliers at the beginning of the year. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, our tutor will be happy to take them now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. To join the question queue, you may press star then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. The first question comes from Alonso Aramburu with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for the call. Two questions. First, on gross margins and centralization, how much more do you think you can achieve in terms of centralization this year, and how should we think as how that can be translated to more gross margin expansion this year? And second, on leverage, what's your target for net debt EBITDA for the end of this year? And should we expect any more refinancing during this year?
Okay, hi Alonso. The first question is in the end of 2016, our level of centralization was 42%. In this first quarter was almost 45%, and our target for the end of the year is 48%. We're expecting 20 basis point more for this reason in the gross margin, but it's very important to explain that this additional logistic fee has a counterpart in the expenses, because we have a more expenses for this reason, because expenses to offer the service for our suppliers. And the second question is about of the leverage. As Carolyn mentioned, in the end of 2016, our leverage was 6.6. After the IPO was 5.7, and we're expecting for the end of the year 4.8 times in the end of 2017. Essentially, because we will pay the syndicated loan amortization and also include our improving in terms of the EBITDA.
Okay, thank you, Arturo.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. There are no questions at this time. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Carolyn McKenzie for any closing remarks.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. We hope to have you with us for the second quarter. Have a good day.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.